Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chidi. I'm reading from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13, which says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with like passions just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. This is part of a series that I'm doing on sickness and healing, and today I want to focus on how do you pray when you have trials and sickness in your life, right? Not just sickness, but any kind of trials, any kind of adverse circumstance. Verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? This is what you do. You pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Here's what to do. Sing psalms. Praise God. Worship Him." And those are essentially the two circumstances in which you could find yourself in your Christian walk. You could either be suffering with trials and adverse circumstances, or you could be cheerful in the absence of trials. This scripture is telling us that our prayers, the way we pray, is supposed to respond to the circumstances in which we find ourselves. If you're going through difficult circumstances, you're suffering, you have trials, you have sickness, what have you, pray. Seek God. Cry out to Him. And if you're going through good times, worship Him, praise Him, dance for joy. You know, very often we are told what you need to do is worship God and praise Him in the midst of the storm. Now, that is not bad advice. Right, I'm not telling you don't worship God in the midst of the storm. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that God understands that we are emotional beings. And what the scripture is telling us is the exact opposite. It's saying you don't have to worship God in the storm. Yes, it's great to do it. It's wonderful to do it. If you have sickness and you have trials and you want to put on music and dance, great, wonderful, go ahead and do it. But this scripture is telling you, if you're going through suffering and you're going through trials, pray. Seek God. Cry out to God. You see, we are emotional beings, and God understood that. The Holy Spirit understood that, which is why He inspired James to write these thoughts. It is difficult to praise God and to worship God freely when you're going through trials. Yes, you could make the sacrifice of praise. But the Bible also says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It is difficult to worship God and to praise Him for joy and to dance when you're going through hard times. It's also very difficult to cry out to God when you're going through good times. Which is why God sometimes allows us to go through trials so that we could cry out to Him in a way that we can't do otherwise. And similarly, when you're going through sickness and trials and suffering, you have an opportunity to cry out to God and to pray and to seek Him earnestly and fervently in a way that you really cannot do when all is well. That is the wisdom in this particular verse that we just read. Is anyone among you suffering? This is the way to pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Here's what you do. You praise God and you worship Him. So, when you're going through difficulties, trials, sicknesses, that is the time when we're supposed to cry out to God in a way that you've never cried out before. To cry out to God with tears, fervently. It says Elijah was a man with like passions just like us. Notice it did not say Elijah was this great anointed prophet with the prophetic anointing. It didn't say that. It says he was a regular dude. He was a man with like passions just like us. And God heard him not because he was this great and mighty prophet. God heard him because he prayed earnestly. Now, crying out to God and praying fervently from your heart with all your might is one of the most powerful prayers that we could pray. The word cry out to God or cried occurs over 50 times in the book of Psalms. Over and over we read that the psalmist cried out to God and God heard him from his holy hill over 50 times in the book of Psalms. If you read the first 5 books of the Bible, you will read about how Israel, they would murmur against God and God's judgment would fall upon them. And then the people would cry out to God and God would hear their cry and will be moved with compassion and he will deliver them. Throughout Israel's history, they would rebel against him during their good times. But whenever they fell into trial and tribulations, they would cry out to God and their cries would come up before him. Over and over, crying out to God is something that is so powerful that Israel, even in their backsliding ways and their murmuring ways, when they cried out to God, God never failed to hear them. We all know the story of a king called Hezekiah who was diagnosed with a sickness and God told him, you're going to die. You're going to die. You know, imagine if you went to church one day and you went up for a prophetic word and the prophet told you, you're going to die and not live. You're probably either going to not go back to that church or dismiss that word as it not being from God, because we all like to hear nice prophecies. But Isaiah told the king Hezekiah, you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah turned against the wall, tore his robe, his kingly robe, and he wept before God and he cried out to God. And before Isaiah could even get home, the word of the Lord came to him and said, go back to Hezekiah and tell him, I have seen your tears and I have heard your prayers. I have heard your cries. There was another king called Ahab who was a wicked king. You know him as the husband of Jezebel. And he did a lot of wickedness in his life. He was one of the worst kings. The Bible says there was no king more wicked than him, than Ahab. He was so wicked that God was looking for an excuse to kill Ahab. God actually called the devil and he said, devil, I'm thinking about a way to kill Ahab. You could help me out? And the devil put up his hand and said, yes, I have a way. I'll put a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. That is how wicked Ahab was, that God conspired to kill him. Yet Ahab went through a trial in his life when he cried out to God, and believe it or not, God heard him. And if Ahab wasn't wicked enough, a few generations later, there was another king called Manasseh. Manasseh, and the Bible says, no king was more wicked than him, which means he was even worse than Ahab and everyone who went before him. And he was so wicked, it was during his reign that God finally said, you know what, enough is enough, and I'm going to bring judgment upon Israel. They're going to end up in captivity in Babylon. And they took Manasseh captive, they put rings on his nose, and they dragged him through the streets as a captive king. And while he was in captivity, he cried out to God, and God amazingly heard him. That is how powerful it is when you cry out to God, that even wicked people, when they cry out to God, God hears them. How much more so that you are a child of God. When you cry out to God on your knees in desperation with all your heart and you seek him fervently, how much more will God be moved with compassion. The Bible says we have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Samson, in his dying breath, blind, holding on to two pillars, cried out to God. After he lost the anointing, after the Holy Spirit departed from him, he cried out to God and he said, "Lord, remember me one more time." And God heard him. Jesus was walking by, and a blind man called Bartimaeus, he just heard that Jesus was walking by, and he cried out to God, and he cried out, and he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus heard him, and he stopped, and he healed him. Blind Bartimaeus cried out to God. He just said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He did not try to make a case or an argument. He did not say, "Jesus, well, you know, I am a descendant of Abraham, and healing is the children's bread, and I claim this healing in Jesus' name, and healing is my right." No. No, he didn't do any of that. He just said, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." He did not cry out to God to give him what he deserved. He cried out to God for mercy, because mercy is what you don't deserve. And that is something that Christians need to wrap their heads around. God does not owe you anything. God does not owe you healing in this life. It is not your right. You will eventually be healed in heaven. So as far as God is concerned, his promise of healing will be fulfilled whether you get healed in this life or the next life. And too often, we get too preoccupied with our rights. You have no rights. You're an heir of God, which means you are waiting for some future time to walk into your inheritance. That's what an heir does. An heir does not get everything that's due to them now. So if you want healing now, you need to stop acting like it's your right, like it's your entitlement, as if God owes you anything. And you need to start crying out to God for mercy. Bartimaeus did not present a compelling argument before God. And Jesus did not say, "You know, you really convinced me to heal you." No, he said, "Your faith has made you whole." Cry out to God with all your heart. Beg him for his mercy and his forgiveness and his healing. Healing is an act of God's mercy and grace. It is not a right, and Christians need to wrap their heads around that. In another session, I'll talk more about that in more details. But when you're suffering, when you're going through trials, that is an opportunity to cry out to God in a way that you can't do otherwise, and don't rob yourself of that opportunity. Don't try to pray in too much of a strategic way. When you're going through trials, man, just cry. Just cry out to God. Just seek him. Tell him your heart. Too often, when we're going through trials, all we do is go to the altar, run to the next healing evangelist, run to everybody who we know who has a gift of healing, and we go to them for prayer. But remember something, they don't have the sickness, you do. So they don't feel the same pain and desperation that you feel. So therefore, they can't really cry out to God the way you could. And when you depend on other people to pray for you, you rob yourself of a great opportunity to cry out to God and to pray the most powerful prayer there is. Now, of course, by all means, let other people pray for you, but do not ever let that be a substitute for you praying for yourself. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Let him seek God. Let him cry out to God. And that's what I want to leave with you today. If you are going through sickness, trials, family problems, economic problems, cry out to him. Just cry out to him. Make time when nobody else is around, because you don't want anybody to see how ugly you look when you cry. But let God see you. For some reason, that kind of prayer moves God, because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.